I know you're out there. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
The Chris Ann Hall Show.
Any varmint that crosses that lady's path has met its match.
Come on!
Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Chris Ann Hall Show. Chris Ann Hall here, KrisAnnHall.com. Liberty over security, principle over party, truth over your favorite personality. Yes, I know that doesn't give a great deal of detail, but it is not supposed to be a lesson in itself, but a reminder to a lesson. This is my media fast week, so you're not going to hear any teaching based on the media dictated narrative. We're not going to talk about the things that the crises and the tragedies that the government wants us to spend all our time talking about based on the media majority dictate. Nope, this week is based on principles, based on fundamental teachings, and today's teaching is called What is Liberty? What is liberty? I realize, and it's just crazy, these podcasts that I make on fundamental teachings are simply just not as popular as the ones that I do based on the media mandated dictate and narrative. They simply are not. I follow the numbers, and when I teach fundamental principles, I don't get the shares. People love drama, and people love to incite emotion, evoke emotion. And because we don't understand liberty, a lesson on liberty simply doesn't evoke emotion for some reason. And it's very difficult for me to draw people into these lessons. So I am very, very grateful for your attention today. I am very, very grateful for your loyalty to liberty. And I would simply ask that you take these lessons that we've been learning this week and spread them more far and wide, because I guarantee I'm not going to be able to come up with some catchy headline or whatever to go with this presentation to make it go viral like some of those that are media popular. So I'm going to rely on the Liberty First Brigade to do this. I also want to remind you that these lessons are going to be available on my YouTube channel. So you need, please go to my YouTube channel, subscribe to my YouTube channel, and then you can also share these podcasts, these archives via YouTube with your friends. And these, we are trying to give as many mechanisms, as many means as possible as to sharing this education. Because I believe what Samuel Adams said. No people will tamely surrender their liberty when knowledge is diffused and virtue is preserved. But to the contrary, when a people become universally ignorant and debauched in their manners, they will sink underneath their own weight without the aid of foreign invaders. Hey, America, we have a significant deficiency in knowledge. And it is led to us becoming debauched in our manners. We have no understanding of liberty. That's why we're going to have this lesson today. What is liberty? I'm sure you know what liberty is. I'm sure you feel liberty in your soul. But I want to give you liberty in such a way that you can break it down to your friends. You can share it with them. And this will be a part of your armament in the defense of liberty. And so here we go with what is liberty. Now, I'll remind you, our Declaration of Independence says this: we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The first thing we need to remember here is that our rights do not come from documents. They do not come from government's permission. We do not have the right to free speech, freedom of religion, freedom of press, the peaceably assemble, the redress of our grievances. We don't have the right to keep and bear arms. We don't have the right to be free from unreasonable searches and seizures and all the due process wrapped up in 5, 6, 7, and 8. We don't have these rights because they're written down on paper. We have these rights because they are endowed by the nature of our creation under natural law. These are our rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. More appropriately, life, liberty, and the ability to maintain and protect those. They all exist under this principle called natural law. Our framers studied a man by the name of John Locke, who wrote Treatise on Natural Law. And in his second treatise, section 6, John Locke says, "The state of nature has a law of nature to govern it. No one ought to harm another in his life, health, liberty, or possessions. For men, being the workmanship of one omnipotent and indefinitely wise maker, all the servant of one sovereign master, they are his property." We don't have the right to destroy other people's property because they are not our property. And our rights come from God. I don't know if that offends someone. You fill in your source, creator, whatever you want to do, but you cannot get away from the fact that rights do not come from government. They do not come from documents. They come from the laws of nature and of nature's God. And if you believe they come from paper, if you believe they come from government, then that means that government hands out the rights and governments can take them away. What John Locke is simply saying to us is this. This state of nature in which we exist, where we have not created our own life, there is a law of nature that governs over that. You do not create your life, and therefore you have the responsibility to not harm another's life, to exist in a state of control over that person's life, because you didn't create it. You are not the workmanship of yourself. There's not a single person on this planet who created himself. And because we did not create our life, we did not create our own liberty, and therefore we have no power to exert that over someone else. As a matter of fact, under the laws of nature and of nature's God, the only power that we have over someone else's rights are the power that exist in the preservation of our own. And when someone violates our rights, we have the right to protect and preserve our own, even if that means to the detriment of their own. Why? Not because we're exerting a power greater over them, because they have exerted a power greater over us. And they don't have that right. That's wherein the law exists. The law exists to preserve the individual's liberty. Benjamin Franklin wrote in Silence, Do Good, number 8, "It is the right of every man as far by it. He does not hurt or control the right of another. And this is the only check it ought to suffer and the only bounds it ought to know." We need to understand that we have a responsibility. We have a right, we have a duty to preserve our life, our liberty, and within that, there are limits and bounds. You cannot take someone else's life and liberty unless it's in the defense of your own. Law is established not to stop people from committing crimes. Law is established to punish people who have violated the liberty of another. You see, liberty and freedom are not the same thing. Freedom is the freedom to do whatever you choose, however you choose, whenever you choose it. You are free to lie. You are free to steal. You are free to murder. But you cannot do those things because those are a violation of natural law. Liberty is freedom plus morality. That understanding that I am free to lie and I am free to steal and I am free to murder. But those things violate the very nature of who I am, the very nature of the preservation of my own rights. Because if he's free, if I'm free to steal, lie, and murder, then he's free to steal and lie and murder too, and that will deprive me of my life and my liberty. Liberty is that understanding that we possess a freedom to work within the realm of our creation, which means there's a responsibility to that freedom. I am free to lie, and I'm free to steal, and I am free to murder. But the responsibility to live within the laws of nature says that I cannot do some things because some things will deprive others of their life and their liberty and their property. And that's what we need to understand. We have to understand the source of our liberty, the author of our liberty. Jefferson said, "The God who gave us life gave us liberty." Can the liberties of a nation be secure when we have removed a conviction that these liberties are a gift of God? How do you preserve liberty when you believe that liberty is sourced through a document or through the laws of man? That the only reason that you have rights is because law creates them and because documents give them and because governments give you permission. You cannot, because that does not give you your right to secure those rights. That puts you in a servitude to government. A servitude to government, because if government is handing them out, then you must believe they have the power to take them away. Jefferson says, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just and that his justice cannot sleep forever. When a people sit back and allow government to be the author of their liberty, then the government can be the taker of their liberty. And that is a responsibility. When government takes your liberty, they take your neighbor's liberty. And the greatest commandment is that you love your neighbor like yourself. And you are not loving your neighbor when you allow government to steal what they do not possess or own. And God is just, and his justice cannot sleep forever.
Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
What is liberty is our lesson today. Samuel Adams wrote in 1772, The Natural Rights of the Colonists. He says, among the natural rights of the colonists are these. First, a right to life. Secondly, to liberty. Thirdly, to property, together with the right to support and defend them in the best manner they can. He says, these are evident branches of, rather than deductions from, the duty of self-preservation, commonly called the first law of nature. Remember what we have learned, that there is, in a state of nature, a law of nature to govern it. And in that first law of nature, we have a duty of self-preservation. And within that duty of self-preservation, we have among our natural rights, life. Because government can't give you life, no matter how much they want you to be brainwashed to believe that. Government doesn't give you liberty. They are not the author of your liberty. Government can't give you property. Do you understand that government can't give you property? If government gives you property, that means they are the owner of all the property. And if they are the owner of all the property, that means that you own nothing. You cannot even live. You cannot sustain yourself. And if government gives you property, that means they must take it from someone else first. And that's theft, even if it's by someone you've elected. And you have, within the first law of nature, that law of self-preservation, the right to defend your life, your liberty, and your property. Now, what is this, our rights? How do we understand our rights? I think the best definition I have found about our rights exists in a writing that James Madison did called Property. James Madison said in his document, his dissertation on property, he says, quote, in a word, as a man is said to have a right to his property, he may be equally said to have a property in his rights. You see, just as physical and as tangible as the property that you hold, the property that you hold in your hand, the property that you live on, the place where your home and your dwelling sits, just as tangible as the grass under your feet are your rights to life, your rights to freedom of speech, your rights to freely publish your opinions, your right to keep and bear arms, your rights to due process. These are not just simply ideas, they are tangible property. And Madison is trying to drive that home here. You have a right to your property? Well, guess what? You have a property in your rights. Would you allow the government to come onto your physical property, come into your home, on your land, come through your gate with a copy of the survey of your property? You bought your property, let's just say for hypothetical purposes, you bought this property 30 years ago. And the government comes with a survey of your property on your land, knocks on your door and says, hey, we have this survey of your property, and we want you to recognize the date stamp on this. This was written 30 years ago. That was a long time ago. Things have changed. You must admit we live in a different world now than we did 30 years ago. And since this is a different world and we live under different needs and different dangers, we're going to take these property lines and we're going to redefine them. Don't worry, we're not going to redefine them much. We need a foot on either side as a deeper boundary between you and your neighbor. We need to keep you safe, and it's just a foot on either side, so it's not a lot. It's just enough for us to keep you safe. And this foot on either side, well, you know, I don't think a foot's going to be enough. Let's go 2 feet. 2 feet on either side, you won't even miss it. We need to have this buffer. We need to have this balance between you and your neighbor in order to keep you safe. And so you're not going to miss this 2 feet on either side. So we're going to redefine your property lines to be inside 2 feet either side. Don't worry, your neighbor's going to also agree to have his property defined in 2 feet on either side. So we have a good buffer zone to keep you safe. It's just a nice balance between your property and safety, and we're going to do that for you. Would you let the government come and steal 2 square feet of your property? If you would not allow the government to redefine your physical property lines, then Madison is saying, why would you allow the government to redefine the property lines of your speech, your press, and your right to protect those things through keeping and bearing arms?
Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
So we must remember that we have a right to our property, but we have a property in our rights. And to maintain those rights, that liberty, life, liberty, property, there's a price to be paid. John Philpott Curran said in 1792, it is the common fate of the indolent to see their rights become prey to the active. The condition upon which God hath given liberty to man is eternal vigilance. Which condition if he break? Servitude is at once the consequence of his crime and the punishment of his guilt. It is the common fate of the indolent to see their rights to become a prey to the active. Isn't that what Samuel Adams said? No people will tamely surrender their liberty when knowledge is diffused and virtue is preserved. But to the contrary, when we become universally ignorant and debauched in our manners, we will sink underneath our own weight without the aid of foreign invaders. This is exactly the same principle the Quran is saying. Look, when we become ignorant, we become lazy. And when we become lazy, it is the common thing to see our rights stolen by those who are active. We have an eternal vigilance. How do we maintain that eternal vigilance? We must become knowledgeable. We must know our rights so clearly. We must know the author of our liberty, the source of our liberty. We must know where our rights come from, that they are our possession individually, and no one can take that away from us. And we must understand that under the ownership of these rights, we have a responsibility to maintain them. Remember the purpose of creating government. Our Constitution tells us in the preamble, the whole purpose is to preserve the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Isn't that right? Jefferson wrote in the Declaration of Independence that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. The whole purpose of government is to secure our rights. Madison said, government is instituted to protect property of every sort. Remember, every sort, those rights which are your property, as well as that which lies in the various rights of the individuals. He says, and that, as that which the term particularly expresses, rights, property. Government is instituted to protect our rights. So what do? We have to understand that there is a limit to government. We have to understand that government is limited based on us, on our power. Bastiat wrote in his dissertation called The Law, it's beautiful, you have to read it. He says, each of us has a natural right from God to defend his person, his liberty, and his property. These are the three basic requirements of life, and the preservation of any one of them is completely dependent upon the preservation of the other two. If you do not have the right to defend your property, then you cannot maintain your life or your liberty. If you cannot have the right to defend your liberty, then you can't maintain your property and your life. If you cannot defend your life, then you have nothing. He says, look, remember, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. He says, thus, the principle of collective right, government's reason for existing, its lawfulness, is based on the individual right. Since an individual cannot lawfully use force against the person, liberty, or property of another individual, then the common force, the government, for the same reason, cannot lawfully be used to destroy the person, liberty, or property of individuals or groups. Because you cannot steal from me, government cannot steal from me. Government has no greater power than is exercised by the individual. And if it is wrong for me to go next door and steal your child's bicycle for my own child, then it is wrong for government to do that as well. If it's wrong for you to pay me to go next door and take the next door neighbor's bike for your child, then it's wrong for you to pay a government official a salary and to pay taxes so that they can go to your next door neighbor and steal something for you. Why? Because you don't have an individual right to do that. You will agree that it's wrong for you to do that. And therefore, the collective, the government, can't have the power to do that either. Samuel Adams wrote in The Rights of Colonists, it is the greatest absurdity to suppose it in the power of one or the number of men, of any men, at entering into society to renounce their essential natural rights or the means of preserving those rights. from the very nature of government's institution, is for the support, protection, and defense of those very rights, the principle of which, as is before observed, are life, liberty, and property. The whole purpose for creating government is to preserve life, liberty, and property. If men, he says, through fear, fraud, or mistake, should in terms renounce or give up any essential right, the internal law of reason, the grand end of society, would absolutely vacate such renunciation. The right to freedom being the gift of God Almighty, it is not in the power of man to alienate this gift and voluntarily become a slave. What has happened when government becomes the force to take your life, your liberty, and your property? They're not the author of it. They cannot take it. Is government limitless? Do we need to strike a balance between liberty and security? What is that balance? What is the limit to government? Bastiat asks this question. What happens when the law has gone further than its protection of life, liberty, and property? What happens when the government acts in direct opposition to its own purpose? He says, then the law has been used to destroy its own objective. It has been applied to annihilating the justice that it was supposed to maintain, to limiting and destroying rights which its real purpose was to respect. What is the balance between liberty and security? The balance is liberty is always superior to security. You cannot trade them, because when you create a government that can take your liberty in the name of something that is intangible and transient, then government has the power to destroy the very nature and the very purpose of its creation. Bastiat says, no society can exist unless the laws are respected to a certain degree. The safest way to make laws respected is to make them respectable. But when law and morality contradict each other, the citizen has the cruel alternative of either losing his moral sense or losing his respect for the law. These two evils are of equal consequence, and it would be difficult for a person to choose between them. When you try to strike a balance between liberty and security, and you tell people that they have to surrender their liberty, become a slave in order to be safe, you create a moral contradiction. It's a dilemma. The people then have to choose between their liberty and the law. And then when they have to choose between their liberty and their law, they have to choose between losing what is theirs by right or their moral sense to obey the law. We have a moral sense to obey law. But when law contradicts that very morality, we establish an evil. And within that evil, we lose respect for law. And we have to choose between our own morality and law itself. How does that happen? Madison explains to us that when we choose security over liberty, we create a situation where there's an excess of power in government. And he says, where an excess of power prevails, property of no sort is duly respected. No man is safe in his opinions, his persons, his faculties, or his possessions. Because in order for government to make you safe at the expense of your liberty, you have to give them an excess of power. More power than they were ever supposed to hold. Because remember, their power only exists to preserve your life, your liberty, and your property. To allow you to preserve those things yourself. And when they take away your fundamental right to preserve your life, your liberty, and your property yourself in the name of national security, then they have to have an excess of power over you. And when they have an excess of power over you, then you have no rights. Your opinions aren't even safe. Why? Because if you know the government has the power to take your property from you, and you don't have the power to protect it under yourself, if the government has the right to take your life or the substance of your life, and you don't have the right to protect those things to yourself, then guess what? Government has a superior power over you, and you will keep your mouth shut to preserve those substances. They will silence you through fear. They will silence you through lies, through errors, and they will cause you to think that you have voluntarily become a slave. And when you have voluntarily become a slave, you will censor yourself and you will have no opinions publicly. You will have no means by which to maintain your own sustenance because there is an excess of power in government. Madison says that is not a just government. That is not a just government, nor is property secure under it. What are your property? Your rights. Where arbitrary restriction, exemptions, and monopolies deny to part of its citizens that free use of their faculties and free choice of their occupations. When there is an unjust power in government, that is not a just government, he says, nor is property secure under it. Where the property which a man has in his personal safety and personal liberty is violated by arbitrary seizures of one class of citizen for the service of the rest. It's about time we understand our rights are property, and our right to protect them is ours alone.
Or love me if you can. If the truth is what you want, then you found your man. I ain't backing down, I ain't backing up. If you think like I think, then crack it on up.
I won't back up, I don't back down. I've been raised up to stay my ground. Take my job, but not my gun.
Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. And that is not a just government, nor is property secure. You have a property in your rights. Where arbitrary restrictions and exemptions and monopolies deny to part of its citizens that free use of their faculties, a free choice of occupations, the free choice to maintain your own sustenance and your own opinions. It is not a just government, nor is property secure under it, where the property which a man has in his personal safety, his personal liberty, is violated by arbitrary seizures of one class of citizen for the service of the rest. That is not a just government, when government can take from you to give to another. Even if that taking is your liberty in the name of another's safety, that is not a just government. Madison concludes in his dissertation on property and says, if the United States mean to obtain or deserve the full praise due to wise and just governments, they will equally respect the rights of property and the property in rights. They will rival the government that most sacredly guards the former, and by repelling its example in violating the latter, will make themselves a pattern to that and all other governments. You cannot trade liberty for security, because liberty is a property, and security is an illusion. Security is an illusion. You will never be safe. You will never be safe when government has a superior power over you, because there will always be a bigger boogeyman around the corner, right? A bigger danger. Look at how we started. We started with a Cold War, right? The potential danger of nuclear threat. And we traded a little bit of liberty. And now, have we become safer over the years? Think about that. Over the last 60 years, as we have incrementally, fundamentally traded our liberty to the power of government? Have we become safer in the last 60 years? No, we have not. We have not become safer. We have become weaker. We become more enslaved. Governments used to fear us, not because our government was powerful, but because its people were. We were free from foreign invasion, not because we had a superior military, but because the foreign governments knew that once they landed on our soil, every single person on this in this soil had the potential of being armed. Are we safer now that we're disarmed? Look, it's what's happening. We are not free from foreign invasion anymore because they don't fear the individuals. Because government with more power doesn't make us safe. Government with more power makes us slaves and makes us weaker, makes us immoral. Because government exercises an excess of power, creating laws that violate the very nature of law itself. The very nature of our existence, violated by the laws created by government, create a moral conflict within us. And so then we have, even within our conservative circles, you have to obey the law. We can't disobey the law. And the moment that you support a law that operates to an immoral means, you compromise your own internal morality. And you become immoral. You become debauched in your manners. And virtue is no longer preserved because you're in an internal conflict. Do you support law that has no morality? Do you support law that steals your life, your liberty, and your property? Because it's the law? No, you don't. Because there's a higher law. And that when any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter, abolish it, and institute new government, laying its foundations on such principles and organizing its powers in such forms to preserve our property and our rights. God bless. See you tomorrow.